Going very far in chapter 15? All right. Chapter 15 of the book of Acts. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren. And well, because Jerusalem was up, and every place was down from Jerusalem. And said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem, there you go, see, unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia, and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders. And they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. And then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, or that's Simon Peter, Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of our prophets, as it is written, after this I will return, I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. I will build again the ruins thereof. I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. I'm going to stop right there and back up and go over the scriptures that we've read. Back in number 1, verse 1, certain men which came down from Jerusalem, came down from Judea, taught the brethren, said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Well, now these are what is known as Judaizers. You may hear that term from me or from other preachers. But a Judaizer is one who was converted out of Judaism that is trying to get others to get back in to Judaism. So they are Judaizers. Well, here's trying to do it with the issue of circumcision. Now, after the manner of Moses. Well, that's not where circumcision started. So these antinomians, they probably have some stuff to say about this, but it wouldn't be right. Go back to Genesis 17 real quick. In Genesis 17, we'll start with verse 9. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee, every man child among you, shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed, and he that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with the money or with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And this uncircumcised man child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And so this has everything to do with the Abrahamic covenant. And this is a token or the sign of it for a male child to be circumcised. That word in the Greek, it's peritomneo. It means just peri is around and cut around. That's what it is. Nothing fancy, it's just that's what it is. And so this covenant, this token, is set with Abraham, and this is before there's any Jewish nation. 500 years before Moses. So, to say this all had to do with Moses, it didn't. This has to do with the covenant of God with Abraham. Okay? And it was before there was ever any Jewish nation. Now, God's already chosen Abraham and made the covenant with him. And when the child of promise is born, Isaac, the nation will be growing. But there isn't one then. That's why I've made several Jews mad. I said, you know, Abraham was a Gentile. They just get their feathers up. Abraham, the greatest man in Jewish history? You're saying he was a Gentile? Well, he was. That's what he was before God made him a Jew. So these guys, these preterists, talk like that there's something brand new out here that all they which be of Israel are not Jews. Ain't nothing new about that. That's the way it was to begin with. The first Jew. How did he become a Jew? God chose him. And God adopted him. He was a Gentile. Ur of the Chaldees. As much Gentile as you could be. And he made him a Jew. Well, there's something you can relate to there. And I can too. That's exactly how you got here. That's exactly how I got here. Old Gentile. And God chose him before the world was. And he saved him, regenerated him, and adopted him into his family. Now I am a spiritual Jew. Not a national Jew, I'm a spiritual Jew. They say, well, see, there are no more national Jews, it's all spiritual. No, God didn't do away with his people. I think Paul said something like that, didn't he? Anyway, so, verse 2, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension. Now, that is called, in figures of speech, a litotes. Anybody hear the word? L-I-T-O-T-E-S. Litotes. That is denying the negative by affirming the positive. No small dissension. Saying there wasn't no little dissension. By that, they're saying there was a big dissension. That's what a litotes is. Now, see, you're going to English class now. You're learning figures of speech, see? All right, so there was no small dissension, a dissension and disputation with them. Well, some of the commentaries try to take you away from the actual realism of what's going on there. Dissension and disputation. Dissension is daggone. Y'all think I know a lot about dissension, don't you? And disputation. Disputing, you know what that means? To dispute. You said, that's it. Now, dispute that is not it. That's disputation. And it was no small dissension and disputation amongst them. They're having some real go around with it. Appears to me. Doesn't it you? About have to be, wouldn't it? Well, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Now, this is a big question that's got to be decided. Do these Gentiles have to go through the process of Jewish tokens, signs, in order to be saved? There's their issue. So it's a Judaizer's deal. And being brought on their way by the church, I assume that's talking about the church giving them authority to go. They passed through Phoenicia and Samaria. Well, Samaria is in the northern half of Israel. And so Phoenicia is north of Israel, right on the coast, Lebanon now, but anyway, Phoenicia. And they declared the conversion of the Gentiles to the brethren in Samaria and in Phoenicia. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. So these brethren well received the word that all of these Gentiles have been saved. The Lord's brought them in to us. And evidently they're obedient to the faith and to the doctrines and to the baptism and church membership and all. Brought great joy. Well, that's the way it ought to be. Doesn't always do that, but that's the way it ought to be. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of or by the church there. That would be the church at Jerusalem. Wasn't it universal? It was a local assembly of baptized believers. And of the apostles and elders. Now, were they the same one? No, no. You had distinct apostles. Christ chose apostles, and that means sent ones. And the church elected elders, pastors. So were the apostles and pastors the same thing? No. You had apostles and you had elders in that church. So there was a lot going on in that church. Okay. And they declared all things that God had done with them. Well, give them reports. These are verbal reports. But I think it's the same thing. We get a written report from a missionary because it's very expensive to travel and all that to just come back. And so they give written reports. And that's what they are, reports. Verse 5, but there arose up certain of the sect. That word has a lot of use. That means just a portion of people. We can legitimately be called a sect, the members of Richmond Road Baptist Church. That's not necessarily a derogatory thing to say. It's just a group, a specific group. Now, you can use it in a derogatory way, but most generally it's not derogatory. So, the sect of the Pharisees, and so these are Pharisees which believed. So these people came right straight from Judaism, Pharisaism, and boy, they were the worst kind. They were holier than thou. The even book of Isaiah talks about that. But said they believed. Well, they still got some problems. And they're saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now we're going to have to try to determine what they meant by the law of Moses. Because according to these antinomians that we've been talking about, they've taken the Ten Commandments, they've taken all of the laws of the offerings, the ceremonial, they've taken all the civil laws and the dietary laws, and they've jammed them all together as one. And you cannot do that. We have no right to do that. Neither does any other preacher have a right to do that. So, we'll have to determine what they're talking about. The law of Moses. Well, we already see that circumcision goes back to Abraham, so that wouldn't qualify as the law of Moses. Well, and the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. The apostles and the pastors, the elders. See, pastor, bishop, elder, they're all the same office with a different term. And when there had been much disputing, well, you've got to see what that says. Already saw dissension and disputing, and we know that must have been quite heavy. And here it says much disputing, heavy again, in the church at Jerusalem. So, but what they're having is a council or conference in the Jerusalem church. So, from here on out, if you hear about the Jerusalem conference, you'll know it's in Acts, the 15th chapter. Right? That's the only one I know of. Now, this does not say that there are authorities outside of a local church, because there aren't. Here, there was a difference. As I always say, the prototype has differences from the assembly line model. And this is the prototype. The church at Jerusalem not only had pastors, bishops, elders, it had apostles. And those apostles had a certain amount of authority. But they did not overshadow the authority of the church. Paul, an apostle, worked under the authority of a church. Now, so you can talk about apostolic authority, but it did not supersede the authority of the individual church. Now, when there had been much disputing, verse 7, Peter rose up and said unto them, "Men and brethren, you all know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles," that's us, that's people that are not Jews, "by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." Well, "and God which knoweth the hearts and bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us." Now, I don't think he's talking about the Holy Spirit and salvation there. I think he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the Gentile churches that fulfilled that Acts 1:8. Because it's for certain that if you don't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. Doesn't matter who you are. And put no difference between us and them, Jew and Gentile. And boy, that was a hard thing for them to come to. Look how hard it was for Peter to come to. It was, because they'd been raised all their lives believing that Jews were much better than Gentiles and cleaner and everything else, and they shouldn't have anything to do with Gentiles. And now Peter says that they're the same as us. Very difficult to come to. Anytime you have to go against what you've been raised with and had in you a part of your life and have to change, it is like pulling hen's teeth, so to speak. Well, every one of us, as we are saved, we have to come as a little child before the Lord, understanding that we don't know anything. We got to get it all taught to us from the Word of God. Now, verse 10. Now he puts a question to the Pharisee believers in that church. Now therefore, why tempt you God? Well, isn't that what Jesus said to Satan? When Satan said, throw yourself down off the pinnacle of this temple. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And so he says, why would you tempt God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples? He's talking about the Gentile, which neither our fathers, that's the Jews way back when, nor we were able to bear. None of us have ever been able to bear that. And I don't think he's talking about the Ten Commandments particularly here. Look back at chapter 1 real quick of Acts. Look at verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet or Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Now there's a lot of questions about how long a Sabbath day's journey was. Well, look back at, I think it's Exodus 17. No, it's not where it is. Anyway, I'm not going to look for it now. I should have written it down, but thought I had it in my mind. But anyway, the Jews or the Israelites arguing with Moses about manna. What chapter did he start manna in? I thought it was 17, but it's not. Hang on a minute. Let me see if I can find it.
Try 16.
Huh?
Try 16.
16? Okay, yeah. Okay, let's try that. Verse 12, I know it talks about it. That's where they get quail. Any rate, when Moses is, they're arguing with Moses, and then you find out that when you keep that manna longer than you're supposed to, it stinks, it rots, and turns to worms. And he said, you can't do that. You've got to use enough. Use what you do, what you pick up that day.
That's 16, verse 20.
16?
Verse 20.
Okay, I was close.
Yeah.
Hang on. Huh? All right, okay, verse 19. Yeah, that's it. Let no man leave of it till the morning, notwithstanding they hearken. They listened not unto Moses. But some of them left it, of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth, angry with them. And they gathered every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seed that you will seed, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. Ain't no sense. You're not supposed to go out after it, and you're not going to find it anyway. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide, remain ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Now, what's all that got to do with the Sabbath day's journey? We don't have any evidence of how long the Sabbath day's journey is. We must depend on word of mouth, two-thirds of a mile. Where did that come from? That was a Jew's interpretation of the law. All right? Two-thirds of a mile. What would two-thirds of a mile do for you, that you as far as you could go? Wipe you out, wouldn't it? You couldn't even go to McDonald's, could you? Yeah. Two-thirds of a mile? What, I think it was 3 miles to the road? Yeah. I can't go that way. I can't go that way. I can't go anywhere. It would wipe you out. Well, that was what they determined was a Sabbath day's journey. He said, our fathers weren't able to bear that yoke, and neither were we. Why would you put that yoke on them? And so that would be what's called the Targums, their interpretations of the laws. Well, I think pretty much that's what he's talking about. Anyway, well, I don't know. Did that go over like a lead balloon or what? Okay. All right. Back in Acts 15. Verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. So salvation is the same way for every one of us. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. So there they are rehearsing, giving a report of all that God had worked in their ministries. In verse 13, and after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken, listen unto me. Simeon, and that would be Simon Peter, hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Well, they thought they were the only ones. And now Peter, a fellow Jew, tells them that God did purpose to visit the Gentiles and take out of them a people for his name's sake. What a revelation to them. And it's hard knocks and bangs learning what they had to learn. Well, and to this agree, the words of the prophets, as it is written, I've got Amos 9, 11, 12 here, if you want to turn there. But anyway, this agree the words of the prophets. After this, I'll return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. And I think he's talking about the churches of the Gentiles here. You can disagree with me if you want to. That's what I think it is. That the residue, the remaining, the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Now here's a good one. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Hold your place there and look at Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. If you can't rejoice in that, I don't know what to say. Isaiah 45. Oh, verse 20. Well, I don't know. Look back at verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens. See, you don't get very far without hearing about the creation, do you? God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. Unlike the environmentalists today, I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek you me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image. And pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I don't know about you, but that thrills me. Some of the most thrilling scriptures. Look at Ephesians 3 real quick. In verse 8, Paul says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. How many of them won't come to fruition? None. They all. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. And when it's all said and done, when everything's wrapped up, everything will have happened according to the will of God. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. Now somebody, oh, you're a hard shell. No, I'm not a hard shell. But I believe in a sovereign God. I believe known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world. Well, when you get back beyond the foundation of the world, you're in eternity. And there is no chronology in eternity. There may be an order, but there is no chronology in eternity. This takes place at this time, and this at this time, and this at this time. And that's why the theologians talk about the decree of God, not the decrees of God. Your storybooks, King, ho-ho, what kings were they? Midas, Methuselah, I don't know, what all kings were they? And the kids' storybooks, King, I don't know. But the king made a decree. You've heard that word before. And all them old fairy tales, the king made a decree. Well, let me tell you what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the blessed and only potentate, made a decree, and he purposed everything that will be. So he didn't just know about it. I hear people say, well, I believe God knew who was going to be saved. Well, there was only one reason God knew who was going to be saved. Because he elected them to be saved. And why does he know all things? Because he purposed all things. Any less than that, and you don't believe in the God of the Bible. Anyway, I had to rant and rave on that for a little bit. Wherefore, my sentence is, well, your sentence is, that's what the judge hands down after all the evidence and all the jury verdicts and all that. It's a sentence. He says, my sentence is after we've discussed all this, had all the dissension and the disputations and all of that, the disputings, and here's my sentence about what we Jewish believers are to do with the Gentile believers. And we trouble not them, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. But that we write unto them, that they abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood. Now that's repeated again, verse 29. Four things they concluded, and I believe those things are still in existence today. Matter of fact, I know they are. Those have never been canceled. Well, let's see what they are. Pollutions of idols. Well, y'all know what pollution is. The Democrats have been saying for 40 years that my exhaust pipe is polluting the whole universe. I'm sure it's not y'all's, it's mine. Isn't that what's going on with this green stuff? Well, that's what they say. I don't believe a word of it, but that's what they say. So pollution is when you dirty up something. He said that all of us, Gentiles and Jews also, need to abstain from the dirtying up of idols. Pollutions of idols. And probably he's not even talking about eating meat that was offered to him, because that's in, he deals with that in Romans and 1 Corinthians. And from fornication. Look at that word fornication. That's a word from porneia, from good pornography. He says from fornication. Do you think that we still should abstain from fornication? Think we should? Well, wonder if, what's that say about adultery? Or homosexuality? Or any other sexual sin? I think it includes all of them. Now, they want inclusiveness? Here's inclusiveness. Abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication. You can't dismiss the Ten Commandments and go commit fornication. And from things strangled, I don't know, that's in my Bible. It's in the Textus Receptus. Some of them try to say it's not there, but it is. It's there in the Bible. It's not there in other works. From things strangled. Well, we can't take a calf and put a rope around its neck and strangle it to death and then go butcher it and eat it. You say, well, nobody does it. Oh, yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. They do it in Europe. They do it in South America. They do it all over. They love blood pudding. They love blood pudding in England. Now, I love pudding, but that's pudding pie. I don't love blood pudding. I want nothing to do with it. Don't mess with things strangled. That's why if you want roadkill, if you saw a deer just hit and killed, what you need to do is get your pocket knife out and run and get that deer and cut its throat and bleed it out. Amen? Now, I'm not a butcher. I don't know how to do all that stuff, but I know that's what you must do if you're going to eat that and be right here. Because you see, whatever an animal has got, when you get the blood ingested, you've got it in you. And he says, and from blood. Now, the Jehovah's false witnesses take that and say, boy, it's against God's law to get a blood transfusion. That ain't what that's talking about. That's them wresting the scriptures to a lot of people's destruction, because they've caused a lot of people to die. Now, when I had that bleeding ulcer, they had to give me 8 bags of that blood, plasma, whatever it was. 8 bags of it. I was about out. I don't know why I didn't die. Never been that weak before in my life. Wasn't I about out? Well, and my brother said, I don't know about you anymore. I don't think you're kin to me anymore. You've got too much foreign blood in you. Well, I think I still kin to him, but anyway. That means drinking it. Things strangled, that means that blood's all there in there, and you butcher that meat and you've got it all. And from blood, I used to haul livestock, and then when I was a teenager, I'd go with my daddy. I've been to packing houses and Brooklyn, New York. I've been in Detroit, Chicago. Been in packing houses all over. And there's one, used to be one right out off of Lyle Road there. Lyle Industrial Road. Used to be where the Bluegrass Stockyard was around there. Go back in there, there was Field Packing House. I used to haul old cancer cows back there and all that. They'd make lunch meat out of all of them. But anyway, they had a guys that butchered cattle. They'd hang a cow up, and there that blood be running down that drain. They'd get their hands in, cup that blood and drink it. I've done a lot. And like I said, in South America, Europe, England, Germany, they love blood pudding. And God says, stay away from it. Amen. Anyway, that's what we've got. And that was the sentence. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Well, we don't have to do that with the Jews because they're taught that. But the Gentiles haven't been taught that. And that's where you find that. In Gentile nations, heathen nations, that haven't been taught that. But preachers ought to preach all of that. They got more to do in these churches than just to play games with them and make everybody happy. They need to preach the whole counsel of God. May the Lord bless you all. Let's stand.